Both Verna and Warren's scowls evaporated as they straightened. They were overcome with surprise, silly, radiant grins.
Really?
Warren asked.
Really?
Verna asked. Yes, really, Kalen said. Chapter 43. It took more than 2 weeks to prepare for Verna and Warren's wedding. It wasn't that it couldn't have been done more quickly, but rather, as Zed had explained to Kalen, he wanted to drag out the whole affair. He wanted to give everyone ample time to ponder it and to dream up lavish doings, time to organize, to make decorations, to cook special foods, to get the camp ready for a grand party, time to have a stretch where everyone could gossip about it as they eagerly looked forward to the big event. The soldiers, at first merely pleased, soon got caught up in the spirit of the occasion. It became a grand diversion. They all liked Warren. He was the sort of man that everyone felt a little sorry for, a bit protective of, the awkward, shy type. Most didn't have the foggiest understanding of many of the things he babbled about. They thought that he just wasn't the type who would ever win a woman. That he had, to them, seemingly against all odds, gave the men an inner pride that he was one of theirs, and he had done it. He'd won a woman's heart. It gave them hope that they might one day have a wedding, a wife, and a family, even if they were afraid that they too were often awkward and shy. The men even openly expressed happiness for Verna. She was a woman they respected, but had never exactly felt warmly towards. Their bold well-wishes flummoxed her. The entire camp was caught up in the spirit of the event even more than Kalen had hoped. After a brief pause in the beginning while it sank in, the men, so weary not only of fighting against such odds, the loss of friends, and being in the field away from their homes and loved ones for so long, but also the harsh, difficult, dreary weather, took to the diversion with gusto. A large central area was cleared, tents moved, and the area cleaned of snow down to the bare ground. At the head of the cleared area, they built a platform, laid across anchored supply wagons, atop which the wedding was to take place. The platform was needed so that the men would have a better chance to see the ceremony. A dance area was set aside, and those men with musical instruments, and not out on duty, spent night and day practicing. A choir was formed and went off to a secluded ravine to rehearse. Wherever Kalen went, she could hear pipes and drums, or the piercing notes of a shawm, or the melodic chords of strings. Men came to fear playing off-key more than they feared the Imperial Order. With over 100 sisters available, it was suggested that there could be dancing after the ceremony. The sisters liked the idea until they started doing the math and realized how many men there were to each woman and how much dancing they would be doing. Still, they were titillated at the prospect of having attention lavished on them at a dance and approved the idea. Women centuries old were blushing like girls again at all the requests from men in their teens and twenties for the promise of a turn with them at the wedding dance. As the wedding approached, the men made streets of sorts in a winding course through the camp, so that after the ceremony, the wedding party could pass in review through the entire camp. All the men wanted a chance to be a part of greeting the newly married couple and wishing them well. Kalen had the idea that after the wedding, Warren and Verna should have the lodge. It was to be her wedding gift to them, so for the most part she kept it a secret. Kalen had Kara direct the public pretense of having a tent set aside and reserved for the newly married couple. Kara moved Verna's things in the tent and freshened it up with herbs and frozen sprigs with wild berries. The diversion worked. Verna believed the tent was to be hers and Warren's and wouldn't let him into it until after they were married. The day of the wedding dawned with sparkling blue skies and wasn't so cold that people were likely to get frostbite. The fresh snow of the day before was quickly cleared out of the central area so that the festivities could take place without the sisters getting snow down their boots as they danced. Some of the sisters came out to inspect the dance floor, sauntering around, giving the men a look at who they might get to have a turn with, if they were lucky. It was all done with much humor and good cheer. While Verna spent the early afternoon in her tent, submitting to having her hair fussed over, Her face painted and her wedding dress tended to by a gaggle of sisters, Kaylin was finally able to have the secrecy she needed in order to decorate the lodge. Inside, she secured fragrant, feathery balsam boughs to a cord and draped it in swags around the top of every wall. She tied red berries, as that was all she could come by, into the boughs to give them some color. One of the sisters had given Kaylin some plain weave fabric that Kaylin had made into a curtain for the window. She had worked on it when she retired to the lodge at night, stitching designs to give the simple material a lacy look. She kept it under her bed, so that when they came in to go over battlefield strategy, Verna and Warren wouldn't know what she was doing. Kaylin was finally able to put the scented candles, donated by different sisters, as gifts all around the room, and at last hang the curtain on a straight limb she stripped of bark. The one thing Kaylin wouldn't leave to brighten the lodge for the newly wedded couple was spirit. That she would take to her new tent. As Kaylin was making up the bed with fresh bedding, Kara came in with an armload of something blue. Kaylin folded the blanket under the foot of the straw-filled mattress as she watched Kara shut the door.
"What have you got there?"
"You won't believe it," Kara said with a grin. "Wide blue silk ribbon. The sisters have Verna tied to a chair while they're fussing over her, and Zed has Warren off doing something, so I thought you and I could use the ribbon to decorate the place a little. Drape it around. Make it look pretty." She pointed. "Like up there? We could wind it around the balsam you hung to give it a fancy look?" Kaylin blinked in surprise. What a good idea! She didn't know what was more astonishing, actually seeing Kara with blue silk ribbon, or hearing her say, "decorate" and "pretty" in the same breath. She smiled to herself, happy to have heard such a thing. Zed was more of a wizard than he knew. Kaylin and Kara each stood on a log round, working their way along the wall as they wove the ribbon through and around the swagged balsam boughs. It was so beautiful seeing the first wall completed that Kaylin couldn't stop gazing and grinning. They started in on the second wall opposite the door, using extra ribbon for best effect, when Verna and Warren first entered and saw their new place.
"Where did you ever get all this ribbon anyway?"
Kaylin asked around a mouthful of pins.
"Benjamin got it for me."
Kara chuckled as she threaded the ribbon around the cord.
"Can you believe it?
He made me promise not to ask him where he got it from." Kaylin took the pins from her mouth.
"Who? Who what?"
Kara mumbled before she stuck her tongue out the corner of her mouth while wiggling a pin into a tight place.
"Who did you say got you the ribbon?"
Kara lifted another length of blue silk to the ceiling.
"General Myford. I don't have a clue where he—"
"You said Benjamin." Kara lowered the ribbon and stared at Kaylin.
"No, I didn't."
"Yes, you did. You said Benjamin."
"I said General Myford. You only thought—"
"I never knew that General Myford's first name was Benjamin."
"Well, is Benjamin General Myford's first name?"
Had Kara been wearing her red leather, her face would have matched it. As it was, her dark scowl matched the brown leather she had on.
"You know it is."
A smile grew on Kaylin's lips.
"I do now."
Kaylin wore her white Mother Confessor's dress. She was a bit surprised to notice that it fit a little loosely, but, all things considered, she supposed it was to be expected. Because of the cold, she also wore the wolf fur mantle Richard had made for her, but draped it around her shoulders more like a stole. She stood with her back straight and chin held high, overseeing the ceremony and gazing out at the tens of thousands of quiet faces. Behind her was a rich, verdant wall of woven boughs that enabled distant spectators to more easily pick out the six people up on the platform. An ethereal mist of silent breath lifted in the still, golden, late afternoon air. As he conducted the wedding ceremony, Zed's back was to her. Kaylin was fascinated to see his wavy white hair, perpetually in disarray, now brushed and smoothed down. He wore his fine maroon robes with black sleeves and cowled shoulders. Silver brocade circled the cuffs, while gold brocade ran around the neck and down the front. A red satin belt set with a gold buckle gathered the outfit at his waist. Addie stood beside him, wearing her simple sorceress's robes with their yellow and red beads at the neckline. Somehow the contrast looked as grand. Verna wore a rich violet dress done up with gold stitching at the square neckline. The intricate gold needlework ran down the tight sleeves, showing under slashed sham sleeves tied at the elbow with gold ribbon, the delicate smocking over the midriff, extending in a funnel shape down into a gored skirt flaring nearly to the floor. Verna's wavy brown hair was festooned with blue, gold, and crimson flowers the sisters had made from little pieces of silk. With her serene smile, she made a beautiful sorceress bride standing beside the handsome blonde groom in his violet wizard's robes. Everyone seemed to lean in a little as the ceremony reached the climax.
"Do you, Verna, take this wizard to be your husband for life?"
Zed went on in a clear tone that carried out over the crowd.
"Mindful of his gift and duty to it, and swear to both love and honor him without pause for as long as you live."
"I do," Verna said in a silken voice.
"Do you, Warren?"
Addie said, her voice all the more raspy in contrast to Verna's.
"Take this sorceress to be your wife for life, mindful of her gift and duty to it, and swear to both love and honor her without pause for as long as you live?"
"I do,"
Warren said in a confident tone.
"Then, it being of your free will, I accept you, sorceress, as being agreeable, and give my joyful blessing to this union."
Zed raised outstretched arms up into the air.
"I ask the good spirits to smile on this woman's oath."
"Then, it being of your free will, I accept you, wizard, as being agreeable, and give my joyful blessing to this union."
Addie raised outstretched arms up into the air.
"I ask the good spirits to smile on this man's oath."
The four of them crossed their arms and joined hands. With heads bowed, the air in the center of their circle glowed with a living light shining upon the union. The brilliant flare sent a golden ray skyward, as if carrying the oath to the good spirits. Together, Zed and Addie said,
"From this time forward, you are forever joined as husband and wife, both by oath, by love, and now by gift."
The magical light dissolved from the bottom up until it was but a solitary star directly above them in an empty late afternoon sky. In the silent winter air, tens of thousands of spellbound eyes watched a trembling Verna meet Warren's kiss, to seal a wedding unlike any they were likely to ever see again. The marriage of a sorceress and a wizard, bound by more than any mere oath, bound also by a covenant of magic. When Verna and Warren parted, both wearing broad smiles, the crowd went wild. Cheers, along with hats, rose into the air. Both beaming, Verna and Warren joined hands after they turned to the soldiers. They waved with their free arms high in the air. Soldiers cheered, applauded, and whistled, as if it was their own sister or best friend who was just married. The voices of the choir then built in an extended note that reverberated through the trees all around. It made Kaelin's skin tingle with the quality of its haunting tone. The sound brought a reverent hush to the valley. Kara leaned close to Kaelin and whispered in astonishment that the choir was singing an ancient Dharan wedding ceremonial song, the origin of which went back thousands of years. Since the men had gone off to practice alone, Kaelin hadn't heard it before the wedding. It was so powerful it swept her emotions away with the rise and fall of the joined voices. Verna and Warren stood on the edge of the platform, likewise gripped by the achingly beautiful song to their union. Flutes joined in, and then drums. The soldiers, mostly Dharan, smiled as they listened to the music they knew well. It struck Kaelin then, since she had so long thought of Dahara as an enemy land, that she had never really thought of Daharans as having traditions that could be meaningful or stirring or beloved. Kaelin glanced over at Kara standing beside her, smiling distantly as she listened to the music. There was an entire land of Dahara that was largely a mystery to Kaelin. She had only seen their soldiers. She knew nothing of their women, other than the moored Sith, and they were hardly typical. Or their children, or their homes, or their customs. She had come to think of them as joined together at last, but now she realized that they were a people she didn't know, a people with their own heritage. "It's beautiful," Kaelin whispered to Kara. Kara nodded blissfully, carried away on the strains of music that was an old acquaintance to her and an exotic wonder to Kaelin. As the choir came to the end of their tribute to the newly wedded couple, Verna reached back and squeezed Kaelin's hand. It was an apology of sorts, an acknowledgement of how difficult this ceremony must be for Kaelin. Refusing to let that hurt tarnish this joyous event, Kaelin beamed at Verna's quick glance. She came forward, standing behind Warren and Verna with an arm around each. The noise of the crowd trailed off so Kaelin could speak. "These two people belong together. Perhaps they always have. Now they forever shall be. May the good spirits be with them always." With one voice, the entire crowd repeated the prayer. "I want to thank Verna and Warren from the bottom of my heart," Kaelin said as she gazed out at the tens of thousands of faces watching, "for reminding us what life is really about. There is no more eloquent demonstration of the simple yet deep meaning of our cause than this wedding today." Heads as far as she could see bobbed in agreement. "Now," Kaelin called out, "who wants to see these two have the first dance?" The men cheered and hooted as they spread back to open up the central area. Musicians lined up along the benches at the sides. As they waited for Verna and Warren to make their way down to the dance area, Kaelin draped an arm over Zed's shoulder and kissed his cheek. "This is the best idea you ever had, wizard." He took her in with hazel eyes that seemed to see all the way to a person's soul.
"Are you all right, dear one? I know this has to be hard."
Kaelin nodded, holding her grin firmly in place.
"I'm fine. It has to be hard on you, twice over."
A smile took him unexpectedly.
"There you go again, Mother Confessor, worrying about others."
Kaelin watched a laughing Verna and Warren, arm in arm, dancing lightly across the open area ringed by applauding soldiers.
"When they're done," Kaelin asked, "and after you've given your first to Addy, would you dance with me, sir? Stand in for him? I'm sure he would want that."
Kaelin couldn't bring herself to say his name at that moment, or the spell of the joyful celebration would have been broken. Zed lifted an eyebrow with playful delight.
"What makes you think I can dance?"
Kaelin laughed.
"Because there isn't anything you can't do." "I be able to name a number of things this skinny old man can't do," Addy said with a smile as she shuffled up behind him.
When the dance was done, and others began joining in as the newly married couple began the second, Zed and Addy went out in the ring to have a dance and show the young people how it was done. Kaelin stood at the edge of the circle with Kara close at her side, General Myford, laughing and shaking men's hands, slapping others on the back, made his way over.
"Mother Confessor!"
He was pushed up close by the press of the crowd.
"Mother Confessor, this is a wonderful day, isn't it? Have you ever seen the likes of it?"
Kaelin couldn't help but to smile at his delight.
"No, General Myford, I don't think I have."
He glanced briefly at Kara. He stood awkwardly a moment, then turned to watch the dancing. Despite how well the men had come to know her, Kaelin was still a confessor, a woman people feared to be near, much less touch. No one was likely to ask a confessor to dance, or a Mord Sith.
"General," Kaelin asked, tapping him on the back of his shoulder, "General, could you do me a great personal favor?"
"Well, of course, Mother Confessor," he stammered. "Anything. What is it I can do?"
Kaelin gestured out at the dance area and the soldiers and sisters ringing it.
"Would you please dance?"
I know we're supposed to be on guard for any mischief, but I think it would let the men see the true festive nature of this party were their general to go out there and dance.
Dance?
Yes, please.
But I don't know who...
Oh, do please stop trying to get out of it, Kalin turned, as if suddenly struck with a thought. Kara, would you go out there with him and dance so his men will see that it's all right to join in?
Kara's blue eyes shifted between Kalin and the general.
Well, I don't see how... Do it for me, please, Kara.
Kalin turned back to the general.
I believe I heard someone mention that your given name is Benjamin.
He scratched his temple.
That's right, Mother Confessor.
Kalin turned back to Kara. Kara, a Benjamin here needs a partner for a dance. How about you? Please do it for me.
Kara cleared her throat.
Well, all right. For you then, Mother Confessor.
And don't break his ribs or anything. We have need of his talents. Kara scowled back over her shoulder as a smiling Benjamin led her away. Kalin folded her arms and grinned as she watched the man take Kara in his arms. It was just about a perfect day. Just about. Kalin was watching Benjamin gracefully swirl Kara around, and other soldiers pulling suddenly shy sisters out of the line at the edge of the dance area, when Captain Ryan stumbled up.
He straightened before her. Mother, Confessor, well, we've been through a lot together. And if I'm not being too forward, could I ask you to, you know, dance?
Kalin blinked in surprise at the tall, young, broad Galilean.
Why, yes, Bradley. I would love to dance with you.
I would love it, but only if you promise not to hold me like I'm made of glass. I don't want to look foolish out there.
He grinned and nodded.
All right.
She placed one hand in his and laid the other over his shoulder. He put his big hand to the side of her waist under her open fur mantle and twirled her out amid the merrymakers. Kalin smiled and laughed as she endured it. She thought of spirit and willed herself to remember that kind of strength, and she was able to relax and take the party for what it was and not think about what was missing as another man held her in his arms, if timidly.
Bradley? You're a wonderful dancer.
Pride shined in his eyes. She felt him loosen up and let the music flow more smoothly through his movements. Kalin caught sight of Kara and Benjamin not far away, doing their best to dance and not look at each other. When he whirled her around him, his arm securely holding her waist, Kara's long blonde braid sailed out behind her. Then Kalin actually saw Kara look up into Benjamin's blue eyes and smile. Kalin was relieved when the song ended, and Captain Ryan was replaced for the next dance by Zed. She held him close as she moved to a slower tune with him.
"I'm proud of you, Mother Confessor. You gave a wonderful thing to these men."
"And what is that?"
"Your heart."
He tilted his head.
"See them watching you. You've given them courage. You've given them a reason to believe in what they're doing."
Kalin lifted an eyebrow.
"You trickster, you. You may fool others, but not me. It is you who has given me heart."
Zed only smiled.
"You know, not since the very first confessor has a man ever again figured out how to love such a woman without her power destroying him. I'm glad it was my grandson who accomplished such an exploit, and that it was for his love of you. I love you as a granddaughter, Kalin, and look forward to the day when you are back with my grandson."
Kalin held Zed close, resting her head against his shoulder as they both danced on with their memories. As the dancing went on, the golden setting sun was finally replaced by torches and warm fires. Sisters changed partners after each dance, and still there were jovial men lined up out of sight, waiting a turn, and not just with the younger, more attractive sisters. Cook's helpers set out simple fare on food tables, sampling some and joking with the soldiers as they went about their task. Between dances,
Warren and Verna tried the variety of food from different tables. Kaylin danced once more with Captain Ryan, and once more with Zed, but then busied herself speaking to officers and soldiers alike so she wouldn't have to dance with anyone, should anyone feel awkward about asking her, yet work up the nerve. She was more able to enjoy the festivities without having to dance. As she was greeting a line of young officers, and they were telling her how much they appreciate the party, someone tapped Kaylin on the shoulder. She turned to a smiling Warren.
"Mother Confessor, I would be honored were you to have a dance with me."
Kaylin noticed Verna dancing with Zed. This was one dance that would be different.
"Warren, I would love to dance with the handsome groom."
He moved smoothly with her, not at all haltingly as she had expected. He seemed to be blissfully at peace and not nervous about the crush of people or the men constantly clapping him on the back or the joking remarks from some of the sisters.
"Mother Confessor, I just wanted to thank you for making this the best day I've ever had."
Kaylin smiled up into his young face, his ageless eyes.
"Warren, thank you for agreeing to this big party. I know it's not the sort of thing that fits you."
"Oh, but it is. That's just it.
People used to call me the Mole."
"They did? Why?"
"Because I used to stay down in the vaults all the time, studying the prophecies. It wasn't just that I liked to study the books. I was afraid to come out."
"But you finally did."
He turned her in time with a sweep of music.
"Richard brought me out."
"He did. I never knew that."
"In a way, you've helped add to what he started."
Warren smiled distantly.
"I just wanted to thank you. I know how much I miss him, and how much Verna misses him. I know the men miss their Lord Rahl."
Kaylin was only able to nod.
"And I know how much you miss your husband. That's why I wanted to thank you, for giving us this and the gift of your grace despite your heartache. Everyone here feels it with you. Please know that while you miss him, you are not alone and are among those who love him too."
Kaylin smiled and managed to get out a "thank you." As they danced across the open area, laughing at the merry tune and the awkward steps of some of the soldiers, the music abruptly trailed off. It was then that she heard the horns. Alarm swept through the assembled soldiers as men ran for their weapons, until one of the sentries sprinted in, waving his arm, calling out for everyone to stand down, that it was friendly forces. Puzzled, Kaylin stretched her neck along with everyone else, trying to see. They had no forces out. She had let them all be present to enjoy the wedding party. The crowd parted as horses trotted through the throng. Kaylin's eyebrows went up and her jaw dropped. The distinguished General Baldwin, commander of all Celtish forces, was at the fore, riding a handsome chestnut gelding. He brought the horse to a smart halt. He ran his first finger along the length of his white-flecked dark mustache as he took in the crowd gathered in around him. His graying black hair grew down over his ears, and his pate shone through on top. He was a striking figure in his serge cape fastened on one shoulder with two buttons, allowing it to show the rich green silk lining. His tan surcoat was decorated with a heraldic emblem slashed through with a diagonal black line dividing a yellow and blue shield. The man's high boots were rolled down below his knees. Long black gauntlets, their flared cuffs lying over the front, were tucked behind a wide belt set with an ornate buckle. The press of men made way for Kaylin to step through.
"General!"
He lifted a hand in his noble manner, a smile spreading wide.
"Mother Confessor, how good to see you!"
Kaylin started to speak, but horses charged through the crowd, falling back for them. They stormed into the dance area like a wind-borne fire, a dozen moored Sith in red leather. One of the women leaped from her horse.
"Rika!"
Kara called out. The woman's bold glare swept over the gathered people. She finally settled her gaze, taking in Kara. Kara moved out of General Myford's arms.
"Kara!"
she said as a way of greeting. She glanced around.
Where is Hania? Kara stepped closer. Hania? She's not here. The woman pressed her lips together in bitter disappointment. I thought as much. When I never received word back, I feared we had lost her. Still, I was hoping. Kalin stepped forward, a little miffed that the woman saw fit to step in front of General Baldwin. Rika, is it?
Ah,
Rika said, a knowing smile stealing onto her face.
You could be none other than Lord Rahl's wife, the Mother Confessor. I recognize the description.
The woman saluted casually with a fist to her heart.
Yes, I am Rika.
I'm glad to have you here, and your sisters of the Agile.
I came from Adendril as soon as Berdine received your letter. It explained a lot. She and I discussed it and decided I should come with some of my sisters to help in our effort. I left six sister Mordsith with Berdine to watch over Adendril and the Wizard's Keep. I also brought 20,000 troops.
She lifted a thumb, pointing with it behind her.
We met up with the general here a week back.
We can certainly use your help. That was wise of Berdine. I know how eager she was to come herself, but she knows the city and the keep. I'm glad she followed my instructions.
Kalin settled her most unsettling mother confessor gaze on Rika.
Now, if you don't mind, you interrupted General Baldwin. Kara shoved Rika, pushing her back out of the way.
We need to talk, Rika, before you're up to the task of serving Lord Rahl and his wife, who just happens to be a sister of the Agile.
Rika lifted an eyebrow in surprise.
Really? How could...
Later, Kara said with a smile, before Rika could get herself into any more trouble, moving the woman and her sister Mordsith back. Zed, Addie, and Verna eased closer to Kalin. General Baldwin, now off his horse, stepped forward at last and went to a knee in a bow.
My queen, Mother Confessor.
Rise, my child, Kalin said in a formal answer, as the camp looked on with the same rapt attention they had devoted to the wedding. This had important bearing on them, too. The general rose to his feet.
I came as soon as I received your letter, Mother Confessor.
How many men did you bring? He looked surprised by the question.
Why, all of them. 170,000 men. When my queen asks for an army, I bring her one.
Whispers spread through the men as they passed word back. Kalin was stunned. She no longer even felt the cold.
That's wonderful, General. They are sorely needed. We have a real fight on our hands, as I explained in my letter. The Imperial Order is getting reinforcements all the time. We need to cut those lines.
I understand. With the Daharans from Adendril with us, we can just about triple the size of your force down here.
And we can still bring more in from Dahara, General Myford said.
Kalin felt the hot spark of faith in their chances swelling within her breast.
By spring, for sure, we will need them.
She cocked her head at General Baldwin. What about Lieutenant Lyden?
Who? Oh, you must mean Sergeant Lyden.
He only has a scout patrol now. When a man deserts his queen, he's lucky to keep his head. But he acted to protect her people, so I sent him to guard some remote pass. I hope the man dresses warmly.
Kalin wanted to throw her arms around the dashing General Baldwin. Instead, she touched her fingers to his arm in a gesture of her gratitude.
Thank you, General. We surely need the men.
Well, they're upcountry a little ways, half a day back. Couldn't fit them all in here with your army.
That's fine.
Kalin waggled her fingers, calling the Mord Sith forward.
I'm very glad to see you too, Rika. With Mord Sith, we can better handle the enemy gifted. We may even be able to turn the tide. Kara here has helped eliminate some of the gifted already, but I'm afraid that Lord Rahl has her under orders to protect me. She will continue in that capacity, but you will be free to go after their gifted.
Rika bowed.
Love to.
She came up and smiled. Berdine warned me about her, she said under her breath to Kara.
You should listen to Berdine, Kara said, clapping her on the back. Come.
I'll help you find some quarters.
No, Kaelin said, stopping them in their tracks.
This is a party. The General, Rika, and her sisters are invited. In fact, I insist.
Well, Rika said, brightening, as long as we're protecting Lord Rahl's wife, we would be only too happy to stay.
Kaelin took Rika's arm and pulled her close.
Rika, we have a lot of men here, and few women. This is a dance. Get out there and dance.
What? Are you out of your...
Kaelin shoved her out into the dance area. She snapped her fingers at the musicians.
Shall we resume?
She turned to General Baldwin.
General, you have come at a wonderful time. A time of celebration. Please, would you dance with me?
Mother Confessor?
I am your queen, also. Generals dance with queens, do they not?
He smiled and offered his arm.
Of course they do, my queen.
Long after it was dark, the wedding procession made its way through the makeshift streets, greeting all the men. Thousands of soldiers congratulated Warren and Verna on their marriage, offered jesting advice, a gentle slap on the back, or just a merry wave.
Kaelin recalled a time when the Midlands feared these men. Under Darkin Rahl, they were a formidable invader, inspiring dread and terror. She was amazed at how civil these men could be, how human when given a chance. It was Richard, really, who had given them that chance. She knew that many of them understood that and appreciated it. When finally they reached the end of the long, winding walk through the sprawling camp, they came at last to the tent Verna and Warren thought was to be theirs. Those following along bid the couple a good night and wandered back to the party, leaving the three of them alone. Rather than let Verna and Warren slow, Kaelin stepped between them, took each under an arm, and guided them onto the path among the towering trees. Moonlight through the boughs cast wavering patterns on the snow. Not knowing what she was up to, neither Verna nor Warren protested as Kaelin kept them moving. Finally, Kaelin spotted the lodge off through the trees. She stopped a little distance away to let them see the candlelight coming from behind the lace-like curtain. The juxtaposition against life in an army camp made it look all the more romantic.
"This is a long and difficult struggle," Kaelin told them. "Starting a marriage under these conditions is a harsh burden. I can't tell you how happy I am that you two chose to go forward with it at a time like this. It means a great deal to all of us. We're all very happy for you. More than anything, I would like to thank you both for choosing life in all its glory. We will one day have to move on, as surely the Order will move again when spring comes, if not before. But for now, I want this place to be yours. I can give you at least this much. This little piece of a normal life together.
Verna unexpectedly burst into tears and buried her face in Kaelin's shoulder.
Kaelin patted the prelate's heaving back, chuckling at how out of character it was for Verna to show such emotion.
Not a good idea, Verna, to let your new husband see you cry just as he's about to take you to his bed.
That did it, and Verna laughed too. She gripped Kaelin's shoulders as she searched her eyes.
I don't know what to say.
Kaelin kissed her cheek.
Love each other and be good to each other, and treasure being together. That's what I would like more than anything.
Warren hugged her, whispering his thanks in her ear. Kaelin watched as he led Verna the remaining distance to the lodge. At the door, both turned and waved. At the last moment, Warren swept Verna off her feet. Her lilting laugh drifted among the trees as he carried her through the doorway. Alone, Kaelin turned back to the camp.
Chapter 44.
The door opened a crack. One bloodshot eye peered out into the dingy hall.
You have a room?
My wife and I are looking for a room. Before the man could close the door, Richard quickly added,
"We were told you had one."
"What of it?"
Despite it being self-evident, Richard answered politely,
"We've no place to stay."
"Why bring your problems to me?"
Richard could hear angry words going back and forth between a man and woman upstairs. Behind several of the doors in the hall, babies wailed without pause. The heavy odor of rancid oil hung in the dank air. Out the door at the back, standing open to the narrow alley, young children, being chased by older children, squealed as they ran through the cold rain. Richard spoke without expectation into the narrow slit. "We need a room." A dog not far up the alleyway barked with monotonous persistence. "Lots of people need a room. I only have one. I can't give it to you." Nikki eased Richard aside and put her face close to the crack.
"We have the money for the first week." She shoved her hand against the door when he started to shut it. "It's a public room. Your duty is to help the public get rooms."
The man shouldered his weight into the door, shutting it in her face. Richard turned away as Nikki began knocking.
"Forget it," he said. "Let's go get a loaf of bread."
Nikki usually followed his lead without admonishment, challenge, or even comment. But this time, instead of minding him, she rapped persistently on the door. Layers of peeling paint, every color from blue to yellow to red, fell from under her knuckles.
"It's your duty," Nikki called to the closed door. "You've no right to turn us away."
No answer came.
"We're going to report you."
The door opened a crack again. The eye glared out with menace.
"Has he a job?"
"No, but..."
"You go away, the both of you, or I'll report you."
"For what, might I ask?"
"Look, lady, I got a room, but I got to keep it for people at the top of the list."
"How do you know we're not at the top of the list?"
"Because if you were, you would have said so first off, and showed me the approval you got with a seal on it. People at the head of the list have been waiting a long time for a place. You know better than a thief trying to take the place of a good citizen who's followed the law. Now, go away, or I will take down your names for the lodging inspector."
The door slammed shut again. The threat of having their names taken down appeared to take some of the fight out of Nikki. She huffed a sigh as they walked away, the bowed floor creaking and groaning underfoot. At least they had been able to get in out of the rain for a brief time.
"We will have to keep looking," she told him. "If you had a job first, it would probably help. Maybe tomorrow you can look for a job while I keep looking for a room."
Out in the cold rain once more, they crossed the muddy street to the cobbled walkway on the other side. There were yet more places to check, though Richard didn't hold out any hope of getting a room. They'd had doors shut in their faces more times than he could count. Nikki wanted a room, though, so they kept looking. The weather was unusually cold for this far south in the old world, Nikki had told him. People said the cold spell and rain would soon pass. A few days before it had been muggy and warm, so Richard had no reason to doubt their judgment. It was disorienting for him to see woods and fields of lush green vegetation in the dead of winter. There were some trees with limbs bare for the season, but most were in full leaf. As far south as they were in the old world, it never got cold enough for water to freeze. People only blinked dumbly when he spoke of snow. When Richard explained snow as flakes of frozen white water that fell from the sky and covered the ground with a cottony blanket, some people turned huffy, thinking he was making a joke at their expense.
This is the end of this cassette. This program is continued on side one of cassette number 13.